Hello, it is March 14th, 2016. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 552 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending your part of your day with me. First of three podcasts. I know it's selection day after Selection Sunday, and we're going to get there. Tomorrow, you will get our annual, I think this is actually the fourth annual, if you can believe that, the fourth annual massive Matt Norlander podcast, where he and I go through the entire bracket and tell you everything that you need to know. We will be doing that podcast, but we'll be doing that. I'll be taping that tomorrow. That'll be out. I'll be taping that on Monday, later on today, I guess, whenever you're listening to this. And then on, it'll be up on Tuesday. Also, later this week, we'll be talking to Joe Nocera, the co-author of the new book, Indentured, the Inside Story of the Rebellion Against the NCAA. I figured that was a needed, obligatory counterweight to all the madness of March this week. We'll have both of those podcasts later. But today, we continue with our weekly MLB preview podcast with Allison Footer on the Footer and Leach podcast. We will be previewing today the American League East. So, enjoy. Make sure to subscribe. Please give us a positive review on iTunes if you feel so inclined. But mostly, enjoy. It's a three podcast week because there's a lot going on in sports right now. So, enjoy here, me and Allison previewing the American League East. All right, Allison, hello. As always, I'm always have to ask you how, where in spring, in your spring training sojourn you are at. So, where are you?
I'm at the Rockies, so it's the Rockies and the D-backs facility, but today is a Rockies-Dodgers game, and I've been at Rockies camp this morning. So, you know, it is the premier facility in all of Major League Baseball spring training. This place is nicer than some of the Major League ballparks.
And it's shared by Colorado and Arizona.
Yeah, shared by Colorado and Arizona, and it's just like mind-boggling that you can have these surroundings during spring training. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So good for them. It's really, and they pack it in. You know, they draw great crowds, and it's easy to get to, and there's plenty of parking. So yay for everyone.
And you're in Arizona for how much longer?
Till tomorrow night, actually. I have a night flight out, and then I'll go back to Houston, and I'll be there for a couple days, and I'll shoot over to San Antonio for the big league weekend between the Rangers and the world champion Kansas City Royals. They'll play two exhibition games at the Alamo Dome.
I think already, by the way, I don't know if you saw the news last week, but they're gonna be, I'm sure you obviously did, that they're gonna be playing a game at Fort Bragg this year.
Yes, how awesome is that?
You and I need to lobby to go. You have more pull inside this company than I do because you've been there for a long time. You totally do, man. So so I think that we need to lobby to do a show because I really want to go. That sounds like a blast.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
And it's a regular season game. Like, to me, that adds to it. Like, he always loses something. Like, the Cooperstown game always seems fun to go until you realize, A, you know, they don't really – I don't think they even do it anymore. But it doesn't count. Like, there's something about a game counting. Like, I would have loved to have gone to one of those Puerto Rico games. Or one of those Mexico City games they're going to do, or the Cuba game. I don't think we can probably talk them into letting us go to that one.
Right. No, you're right. And the thing that I think is really cool is that the Braves are going to be the home team, but they're not going to be in their home ballpark. And I mean, maybe it doesn't matter because I think that the Braves realize that they're not necessarily going to contend in the division. But it's hard to give up a home game when there is such an advantage to playing in front of your own fans to do this. But there were absolutely no problems, and every single player, when contacted by their player rep, from both teams, every player was completely 100% on board. They're like totally excited about this, which is awesome.
The Braves have one foot out the door at Turner Field anyway, so
yeah, exactly. Well, no, I mean, I'm sure that the Braves front office is more than fine.
But the players, right? The
game. But the players, you know, sometimes it's more difficult to convince them of things. But there was absolutely no consternation at all, so which is awesome. You're right. I really want to be there. So
let's start tossing out some. Let's send out some feelers, see if they can get us there. Because I could drive there. Like, it's not that far from here, so I can.
Well, I can't.
Well, fine. So yeah, but see, the thing is that like you're always traveling anyway, so it's just another, you know, it's another 5 years.
Man, to be there on July 3rd, I mean, on July 4th weekend would be, are you kidding? I mean, there's like really nothing better except maybe being in like Washington, D.C. during a fireworks display, but yeah, that's just going to be crazy. And Obama's going to be there. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be really fun. So I think we probably have to, the way the Secret Service works now, we probably actually have to start applying now because we have to get all of our background checks in. So let's see if we can, let's start lobbying to see if we can go there because that sounds.
Wait a minute. Obama's not going to that one. He's going to Cuba.
He's going to Cuba.
Okay, ignore me.
Yeah, we're not going to Cuba. I don't think they're going to let us go to Cuba. I think
Obama might end up at the Fort Bragg game. I mean, that would be a politically correct thing for him.
I feel like the 4th of July is a busy time for him.
Come on, everyone's off.
Yeah, boy, he's not.
He's gonna be barbecuing with his kids. Come on, he's gonna be playing some
Yeah,
volleyball and
he's
some
lame duck.
tetherball.
He's lame duck. He'll be already lobbying for his role in the Trump administration. Okay, so let's today we're gonna fit we're gonna do our preview. I think we only have a couple left. I think we've hit the AL Central, we've hit the AL West, we've hit the NL East, and we've hit the NL West. So we have two left. We have this in the National League Central, and which means baseball is about to get here, which is pretty cool.
So weird that we're saving the NL Central for last. Well, so weird.
I mean, it is. It did feature the teams with the three best records in baseball last year. I mean, I don't, I don't. I mean, that's the only reason I would think about doing it last. But anyway,
Well, I'm looking forward to that one because this one like totally stressed me out. Like I was
it's
literally
hard,
like
yeah.
pulling on my hair and trying to figure this whole thing out. And I drew some terrible conclusions, so bear with me.
We've had a couple of tough ones in a row. The AL Central and the AL East.
Yes.
Because the National League is easy because each division has two teams that are just like, forget it, never mind. We'll play next year. So the American League has no teams like that, which makes it a lot harder.
Right.
So, all right, it's the American League East. And also, of course, another thing with the American League East, too, all of these teams have generally been pretty good in a fairly recently. So, it feels weird. Like, you can look and be like, yep, Phillies are toast. Oh, yep, Reds are done. The Rockies are always horrible. But everybody in the AL East has generally been good in a reasonably recent amount of time. So that's what makes it stressful. So we're going to start with number five. I'll go my fifth place team first. And I felt a little bad about this because this team has, other than maybe Madden, this team has the manager I wish my team had the most. I not to, no, we're not going to get into a Mike Matheny discussion here, but I find myself off much more than I used to looking at other teams' managers and salivating a bit. And this team has probably my second favorite manager, if not my favorite manager in baseball. So it makes me feel that much sillier to pick them last. But I have to say, this is a team that looks like it is scrambling, lost, and desperate. And that's the Baltimore Orioles. Yeah.
Me too,
Yeah. I feel bad. I do feel bad because listen, generally we should be happy about seeing, like, they've spent a bunch of money on Chris Davis. They wanted to bring in guys. They tried to bring in Fowler. They brought in Gallardo. Like, they've spent some money. It just feels like bad money. It feels like money that's this it's the Orioles have had a nice little run here of the last few years. I think Showalter, my manager crush, is one of the main reasons for that. He is a guy that you just trust generally what he's doing. And there's obviously great young talent. To me, Machado is almost lost in the Correa Lindor world, and because he's moved to third. But Machado is such a terrific player. He's about to take a huge step forward. And there's talent here, obviously. Like, you see Adam Jones. And Chris Davis with getting him. But to me, this looks like a pitching staff that might be terrible. And if Chris Davis doesn't have a 40 home run season and Adam Jones starts to fall off just a little, that offense starts to look real thin. I think this will be a fun team to go watch if you like to watch homers on both sides, but it really feels like there's some collapse potential here.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I can't get past is the fact that the only pitcher from their pitching staff last year that had a sub 4 ERA is pitching for the Marlins this year, and that's
Right.
Mayan Chen. So that's really bothersome. So you have a bunch of guys. I was there on their photo day, and we have to, ask all these preview questions and stuff about just the team and the upcoming season. And when I was talking to the position players, I'm like, well, I kind of like this team. There's one after another of really star players. But then with the pitchers, I'm like, well, you're hoping that this is going to happen. And well, if this goes well, and if this guy comes back, and oh, he's got a tweak, and there just seems to be a lot of uncertainty on a pitching staff that wasn't that good to begin with. So yeah, I mean, I've scratched out, like, when I'm trying to rank my teams, and I've scratched out like the numbers next to every single team. But when it comes, I feel like the Orioles are going to be a last place team, but not necessarily with like 65 wins. I think they could
Yeah.
win 70 some games or whatever, but no, when you compare, like, you have to compare starting pitching staffs when you're looking at a division as a whole before the season starts, and there's no doubt that the Orioles have the worst starting staff of every team in the AL East, so you have to pick them fifth.
Yeah, and the defense fell off last year too. This is a team that went 81 and 81 last year and brought everybody back. Like, they were like, okay, this is the year, man. And I get it. They had a couple years in 2013, 2014. I think they may have played over their heads a little bit during that time. And I feel like this may start to really fall off fast. And to me, this is you know, in an alternate universe, the Orioles have actually finished last in this division in the last 4 or 5 years. I think generally coming into the season, people have always kind of predicted them less, and they've overachieved. And I think Showalter's a part of that, and they have some young talent there. And I appreciate this is not, you know, there are franchises that no one wants to really praise Angelos, but you know, they're spending money, they're trying, they feel like they've seen this window of opportunity. I just think it may have passed, and that's kind of a shame because Baltimore. I don't know about you, but I feel like Baltimore, first of all, the stadium is still gorgeous. It's a very loyal fan base. Yes. I feel like they've missed their little moment here, I'm afraid. And I'm glad that they're still kind of fighting. And this is not an obvious last place team. And if Baltimore somehow gets hot, it sneaks into the playoffs, it will not be the most shocking thing. But I think right now, the way they stand, it's hard to argue they don't look the worst in the division.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about where the other teams ranked, but like I can absolutely see the Yankees ending up in last place in this division too. I can absolutely see that happening.
Well, it's a good segue. I'm assuming then, go ahead, you have them fourth, yes?
No, I have them third.
Oh, you have them fourth. Okay, who do you have fourth?
I have the Rays.
You have the Rays, okay.
Yeah, and I am upset about that too because I actually, you know, kind of, I've had to read up a lot on the Rays because the Rays are not a team that I spend a lot of time on in my daily life. But I like their young pitching, and I like that they prevent a lot of runs. I mean, I'm a pitching and defense kind of girl, so I find them to be a team that might be on the upswing. It's just that with the payroll that they have and with the flexibility that they don't have and having to reinvent themselves, you wonder, like, how much can they stretch that? But I do like their starting rotation. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where to put them, so I put them fourth. I really don't have reasons beyond that.
I have them third and the Yankees fourth, so we might as well talk about them together because I think they're close. I think the Yankees may have more upside, but the fact that what happens last year, everyone generally stays healthy all year. But the Rays, to me, the major Rays problem is Evan Longoria didn't turn into the crazy superstar we thought he was going to.
Yes.
And they were going to build him. They got him to this great under market contract. They were going to build around him. And the fact is they just had some rough drafts there for a few years. They had some rough drafts. They weren't able to build around him. It's possible the lineup protection for Evan Longoria, who's probably still their best hitter, which is kind of a sad thing about them. It's possible that it's going to be Logan Morrison on a lot of days. And as much as he used to be a fascinating tweeter, I feel like, you know, the Logan Morrison moment has passed. I actually kind of like the Dickerson trade. I feel like that was a smart trade. But, you know, and their defense is solid. I generally like their defense. Kiermaier is a blast to watch. I feel like he's one of those up-and-coming players who you'd want to get excited about. And I like that rotation. But, again, you're counting a lot on young pitching. You're counting a lot on even past Archer and Odorizzi. Like, you know, you've got Smiley. Like, Smiley is fine. Smiley has a little upside. Erasmo Ramirez, we've not actually seen that. Matt Moore, who knows? Like, to me, that I like the Rays just a little bit above the Yankees just because I feel like that if that pitching, there's more certainty with them. Whereas the Yankees, and I guess we can talk about the Yankees a little bit. Listen, last season, they had their everything goes right season.
Yes.
Which was A-Rod stays healthy, Teixeira stays healthy, McCann stays healthy, sort of. Beltran even has a little bit of health. There's no way that's happening again.
No. I mean, I am. When I look back at what kind of team they had last year, which was like so heavy-footed, heavy-leaded, boring, it's pretty amazing that they did get to that wild card game. But when I look at, like, I like the addition of Starlin Castro actually a lot. I think that brings some stability there. But the question is the rotation, and you cannot tell me that when you have a CeCe Sabathia who's trying to make the rotation as a fifth starter, you've got Tanaka who is feeling pretty good that he can pitch through the injury that he's had, and then he might actually be able to put in a, you know, decent season, and some other guys that had kind of up and down seasons last year. I mean, there are guys who definitely like showed a lot, like Eovaldi, Nova, that showed that they can, you know, that they can sustain. And then they have like that great bullpen. So it's not, I mean, I feel like they could end up in third, and I feel like they could end up in last place if it doesn't all work. But yeah, when you have an aging lineup, and I mean, A-Rod, you know how I feel about A-Rod.
You love him. You love him. He's your favorite player.
Right, and I think that if he keeps on keeping on doing what he's always been doing, then
being a great player who's totally clean and awesome. I know. I don't need to paraphrase you, Allison. I know this is how you feel about A-Rod.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, there's a lot of resurgence when you're 41. I mean, you can sometimes, you know, we mature late, and you can hit your peak as a major leaguer at 41. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, I mean, I'm just, aging rosters do nothing for me. They do nothing for anybody. But I do think, you know, they're going to be able to mask a lot of their deficiencies when they have the bullpen all together. When Chapman is done serving his suspension for being a lunatic, then they're going to have that. And that's huge. And so maybe you don't have to have like the greatest rotation in the world. If you can just get through six innings, then it's kind of over. So I am picking them third with the caveat that they could end up just completely falling on their faces.
Yeah, that's my fear. I think they've got real collapse potential. I feel like listen, A-Rod was a surprise last year. I feel like Teixeira was even the bigger surprise. Like A-Rod, I think it may be equally surprising, but you know, A-Rod, there are players who have had aging curves like A-Rod, regardless of it, what else you think. When someone A-Rod hit, it wasn't that stunning that A-Rod at least still had a little bit left in his bat. Teixeira 2 years ago looked done. Like he just looked completely finished. You could squint and say A-Rod's had a year off. Maybe it'll actually help him extend his career a little bit. Teixeira looked toast. It looked like it was completely over. And he made the All-Star team last year, which is really, and for that lineup to work kind of requires him to continue to do that. I really feel like losing Bird hurt them a lot. He was a guy that could have helped. They weren't going to be relying on Teixeira as much if they would have had Bird. Now they don't. So that, to me, is a couple injuries from them, and all of a sudden, Starlin Castro is batting like fourth or fifth on this team, and it starts getting a little hairy then. So, and you're right, that rotation, I just don't think they're going to have a lot of leads to bring to the bullpen. I know this is a very Yankees thing, is to take the thing that the young, nimble, cheap team, the Royals in this case, road to a lot of success, and then say, okay, we want that. And they come in and bring in their three awesome relievers. And again, I agree. If they have a lead going into the seventh inning, they're going to be tough to shut down. But that's not – like, it's not the postseason. I feel like the Yankees aren't going to have a lot of leads at that point. And I'm really worried about the Yankees. I have them fourth, and I can see them if there's a team – obviously, I have them fourth. So if there's a team other than Baltimore that finishes last, I can see that from the Yankees. I still kind of like their general strategy, though, which is we're just going to let this A-Rod contract get over with and this Teixeira contract get over. Like, you know, they brought in Chapman, but they're not making huge, long contracts. They're saving up, I think, clearly for Harper.
They didn't sign a single free agent. Yeah, I mean, that's like, that was a cool, like, headline grabber. But, I mean, when you look at it, like, yeah, they're absolutely, like, just kind of laying low and trying to sort of get a little bit of payroll. I don't know.
Flexibility? Like, yes, flexibility.
I guess stability. Yeah. I mean, do you call it stability when it comes to the Yankees market? But yeah, they're trying to fix things a little bit in that respect. And they've got a decent farm system. I mean, we don't, you know, in general, give them enough credit because they can buy whatever they want. So no, I don't like hate this team or the roster. I just don't see, I'm looking at this rotation and I'm like, well, like you said, like last year, everything that could go right did. And I guess they're going to need another one of those. And they just have to cut down on the injuries to some of their older players, which is very, very challenging. Yeah. That's just a huge issue. And so I think that they're going to be right in the middle of the road. They're going to be a very, very interesting average team.
Yeah. I think that they're just going to try to ride out these next couple of years, get the A-Rod contract off the books, get Teixeira off the books, get Sabathia off the books.
Yes.
And then they can start spending again. They can get under the luxury cap like they said they were going to do in the first place before Tanaka pushed them back over and kind of slowed down this whole process. But for them to even be a somewhat average team during this time where, again, I mean, they're going to – the money they're going to put at Harper is just going to be crazy. And that's what they're saving up for. And frankly, I don't know if it's necessarily that bad of a strategy. So,
no, I think it'll be – oh, my God, that's going to be so fascinating.
That's going to be fun. And already Harper is stirring the pie. It's going to be great. Did you like the Harper stuff this week, or did you not like the Harper stuff this week?
I did. I mean, I don't understand why everyone's so mad. I mean, I understand, okay, baseball's tired. That's like a very strong statement that a baseball player, a major league player, probably shouldn't be saying about his industry, about his organization. But I get where he was coming from. And then he was very complimentary to some of the big personalities that we have in the game today and saying that he wishes that they could be more demonstrative. I don't understand what is so controversial about what he said. I mean, I don't get why people are trying to find reasons not to like Bryce Harper. It just, you know, I'm totally on his side with this. You know, we need to evolve. And the Goose Gossage thing, which is a totally separate thing, and we won't spend too much time on that. But the
it's
fact
the same
that
kind of thing, though. It's the same
it is
kind
the same
of thing.
Kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, I'm so tired of these guys. I'm so tired of these old baseball players that are like so mad about, and they're just bitter because they didn't get to make the money that these guys are making, and they really have never found the fulfillment in life as they did when they were baseball players. Yes. But like, please stop talking about the wussification of our sport by saying that these rules, the sliding rules and the home plate rules, are wrong. It's infuriating to hear them grouse about that. And as far as like being able to maybe put your arm in the air when you hit a home run, I mean, you know, baseball's losing the young people. I mean, this is not a secret. And so they need to bring that back. And my very first World Baseball Classic in 2006, I realized it opened my eyes. It was right in front of me, like how the Latin American countries, like how they watch baseball. This isn't something like that the Latin American guys come here and try to show people up. This is part of how they play baseball. The people in the stands are up the entire time screaming. Like it's more like a soccer match. And I had a great appreciation and understanding for how different it is with the two cultures. And you know what? I like the demonstrative. If you do it within reason, I think that it's a really good thing for the fans and the young people. They absolutely love it. 10-year-old kids love that stuff. We should be doing more of it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when Goose Gossage was a young player, Mickey Mantle and those guys were all yelling at him about baseball's not the way it was when we played. And when
exactly.
Mickey Mantle was a young player, Joe DiMaggio was saying, oh, no, like this is just the way it works. And I couldn't agree with you more. And even though Bryce Harper drives me a little crazy sometimes, if just because he's really good and he's not on my team. So
exactly.
That drives me a little crazy. But other than that, it's great. It's great. And you know, it's funny, I interviewed Bryce Harper for Esquire right before he was drafted, right before he was in the minor leagues. It was right before he made his debut with the Nationals. And it was right after Pujols had left the Cardinals. So it was at the end of 2011. And I interviewed him for Esquire. It was if you look up a picture of Bryce Harper baseball in mouth, there's this very unfortunate photo of him holding a baseball in his mouth that is uncomfortably phallic. We'll put it that way. And But it was a really fun piece because even back then, before he had made his major league debut, he was telling me, I'm really sick of baseball, acting like it can't be like I want to be the LeBron of
yes.
baseball. I want this to be fun. I want this to be exciting. And for me, what I think is really cool, and one of the many reasons to like Bryce Harper is he does not yet, anyway, this will probably change when he gets older, but he's not yet done the, okay, now that I'm established, I need to be a grow up. And I need to straighten up. Like he said from the beginning, I am going to try to wreck this league and try to be an individual in a sport that does not like individuals because that's cool and I think that's fun. And now that he's finally had his breakthrough season, he says, yep, still feel that way. I think it's great. And
I think, no, he's so good for the game. And I'm not going to mention like the names of the other players the stars who have like some of the most boring personalities that you almost can't make them like the face of your game because they're really nice, but they're really boring.
I mean, honestly, this is part of the Trout problem, isn't it? Like, I know you're not saying Trout there, but I love Trout, and Trout is so exciting. He's so exciting.
He's such a great player.
He's the best. I think he's a better player than Harper. Like, I love Trout. Like, Trout is the best player in baseball, and I love watching him play. But, man, the only interesting thing about him is that he likes weather. That's the only interesting thing about Mike Trout. Like he talks like, and listen, I know baseball culture has always valued that. But what I presuppose is no, it shouldn't. We need more Harpers. We need more Bautista, who is the guy that really actually did. Though to be fair, Bautista, when someone else shows him up, he gets really mad.
Yeah.
So I don't think Bautista's just a little wacky.
He's not like the nicest, warm and fuzzy guy. I mean, I think that there's two different kind of images of him. And I think
when another player shows up, Bautista, he gets really pissy about it. So
yeah.
I feel like he's not the best ambassador for this. But
I want to ask you this one question, though.
Yes.
Okay, so when we see these highlight films of like center fielders going up and making these amazing catches and they bring it down and they look in their glove and then they, like Mike Trout's done it and Jim Edmonds, that very famous ball that he caught over the wall, and then and Ken Griffey Jr., and then they're smiling, and they're like running in, and they've got the ball in their hand. Like, why doesn't anybody get mad at that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. I certainly agree. But to be fair, you know, like, that is... I feel like if then he did a little dance, that would make people mad, I guess. I don't know. I agree. Listen, the unwritten rule of baseball, they're stupid, and I can't wait for them to go away. And so we're off track, obviously. But anything that Bryce Harper – the fact that Bryce Harper, who if he is not the best player in baseball, he's one of the two, three, or four best players in baseball, is outwardly – is just flat out saying, I ain't doing that shit anymore. I think that's great, and I'm very excited, and it's a good sign. Until, of course – someone throws at him in the first game, but we're going to go through all that crap again. And Gossels will be like, yeah, chin music. And we'll be like, oh, for crying out loud, here we go.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just, you know what it makes me mad is when you hear them talk about the new rules that will prevent concussions, and they just think it's like the most ridiculous thing they've ever heard. It's like, well, when I played, it's like, you know, if you go to an all-star game or a celebrity softball game or somewhere where they bring back a lot of former players, and you watch how these guys are walking, the amount of surgeries they've had, the amount of trouble that they're having post-playing career, just getting around. And then you talk about the like professional football players who have shot themselves in the chest so that their brains are preserved so they can see that all those concussions. I mean, so what is the point of being this bitter old fart who says like it should that needs to continue? Like, we need to have 14 knee surgeries for a retired catcher. Oh, it's just like times can change, and these people just need to stop talking. Just stop talking because no one's interested.
Yeah,
stop talking.
This is kind of the NBA equivalent of people being like Steph Curry. The old players like Steph Curry. That would have never flown in our day. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. We're enjoying this really awesome thing that's happening now. Please go away.
Yeah, and especially since, you know what my era was? My era was the steroid era. Like, the first the proof that the guys were doing steroids was, like, the early 90s, so I was, like, 20. And the Mitchell Report came out when I was 37. So literally, like, my era baseball players were the ones that were doing all the steroids. And you know what? That makes me, like, really mad. I feel like part of my entire baseball watching life has been, like, invalidated somehow. So I'm all for whatever this next generation wants to do, I'm all for it, because I feel like it's a mostly clean game now.
For the record, we went into a steroids conversation. You know how I feel about that, because I totally don't care, and I totally don't care if they're taking steroids now. So, but let's not get into that conversation, because that will be a whole other podcast. And I absolutely do not feel that my awesome baseball memories are invalidated. But that's a later conversation, because we need to get back to the National League East. Let's do the American League East. So we are generally in agreement on the bottom three: Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and Baltimore. So really, we have the same top two. Who do you have at number? Let's just go. Who do you have at number one?
I have the Red Sox, and that wasn't until today. I had the Blue Jays yesterday, and I changed it to the Red Sox today.
Yeah, I have the opposite, but neither one of us is wrong. And I mean, we may both be very wrong, but I think I like both these teams a lot as the top two teams in this. I think something will have to go wrong for each of these teams to fall below any of those bottom three teams. What was it that pushed it for you, Boston over Toronto? What do you like about Boston?
I like the fact that they were 78-84 last year, which was not terrible, and they added Price and Kimbrell and Carson Smith. And so the reason I had them at two yesterday and not one is because I was really stuck on like Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval being not very good players. And so I just feel like that's going to be a detriment to them. But when I look at the additions that they made, and then they have like such a good core, I mean, that Buchholz, Porcello. I mean, I like the rotation, and they've got some really legitimate guys in their lineup. And so I think that to be that close to 500 last year on what looked to be like, I mean, the Sox were terrible. I just think that, you know, adding the pieces that they added, I think it'll be enough to win the division.
Yeah, I like Boston. My concerns about Boston, and for the record, I still have them winning the wild card. Like, I still feel like they're a playoff team, and I think that them and Toronto are going to be right on each other. My concerns are, frankly, that rotation past Price. Like, they obviously needed to go get Price. They took the Cardinals wanted him very badly, and the Red Sox wanted him even more badly. And they needed him probably more than the Cardinals did, because that rotation... Yeah, I mean, this clearly didn't work. Clearly, the we're just gonna have a bunch of number four and five starters and get them together and just see what happens. It obviously did not work. And to me, the problem now is now you have Price and a bunch of four or five starters, and maybe Buchholz moves forward, and eventually I feel like they're going to recognize that Joe Kelly is a reliever and they're going to get him out of the rotation. There's still a lot of rotation question marks, and these are question marks I think they could resolve at the trade deadline. But I feel like that's the rotation is going to be an ongoing conversation all year once again for the Red Sox. And remember last year the whole idea was, well, that's okay if the rotation isn't great because the offense is going to be so great. And I do think the offense is going to be solid because I think Betts may to me, Betts is an MVP waiting to happen. I love Mookie Betts. I feel like he's starting to add a little bit more power. I love him. He got on base a little bit more, but I love him atop that lineup. I love the way he plays. I feel like Jackie Bradley's about to have a little comeback in Bogarts. I love all of that young talent to see it all come at the same time. The problem is, you're right, Ramirez and Sandoval, I don't think they're terrible, but they're clearly, it's a bad vibe going on there. Just a bad scene happening there. And I feel like that's a problem when you've got those young players.
Yeah, I mean, when they signed him, I was like, you guys are crazy. I thought that was crazy for them to, but whatever. I'm not as worried about Sandoval, the big picture of him with his gut hanging out. I mean, he's been built like that his entire career. And he actually has a couple World Series rings. So I'm not too worried about that. But yes, I just feel like when you have that kind of veteran, I don't know, clogging up things. I think that it can just cause problems elsewhere in the lineup, in the field, defensively. I don't know. It bothers me. But again, with all of that said, they did win 78 games last year, and I just feel like they did. I don't know. I just feel like I need to defer to the Blue Jays because, they made it to the ALCS last year. Like, why would I think that they don't have the capability of winning the division? But I think David Price is a big difference in that.
Yeah, and look at the Toronto. Their rotation is hardly wonderful.
Yeah. I wasn't that impressed with it, and I'm sitting there like watching them during the ALCS, and I'm still not impressed with it. So
yeah, they're gonna so regret that Jay Happ signing. Like
that's amazing.
That reeks of trouble. Like you basically had like a good month and a half.
Yeah,
and you get like a huge contract of it. And like it's funny we even talk to someone like all right, Dickie, he's like their number two starter, a guy that if you're lucky, he's going to get you 200 innings of like 4.5 ERA. He was a little bit better last year, but yeah, that rotation is a problem. I'm just so – that lineup, man, like I'm so excited by him. Like just have Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, Tulowitzki all together all year.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
And listen, forget that. Like Russell Martin is really good. You can see Colabella having a good year. If Pilar can like take a step forward, that offense just looks – like, it looks terrifying. And to me, I think that is enough to – I like that they brought in Drew Storen. I feel like he's a helpful guy to bring in there as well. The rotation is not good, but no one really – in this division, there's no real dominant, awesome rotation. The Rays, I think, have the best one. But the Blue Jays, I think, have the type of lineup that will make up for a lot of problems in that rotation. So I ultimately snuck them ahead just so much. But I think we're both in agreement that it's Boston and Toronto atop this division.
Yeah, and I think Bautista is also going to be a man on the mission. Not that he isn't every year, but with going into his contract year, I just think that he's going to have a pretty nice showing. And yeah, I love the Storen pickup, by the way. I just think the world of that guy, and I think that he's going to thrive being out of the toxic environment that he was in. Still, such a good pitcher, and that's going to be huge for them. So, and Stroman and Estrada. I mean, I like the rotation. I have an affinity for Jay Happ because he's such a nice person. So I'm really hoping that he has a good year. But yeah, that was like pretty. I mean, really though, that was a pretty amazing run he had with the Pirates last year.
Yeah,
I don't know where it came from, but that was pretty.
It was crazy. Like he was like it was not quite Rich Hill crazy, but it was definitely pretty crazy.
It was pretty crazy.
Well, just for fun.
The Red Sox, but I do believe that the Blue Jays could very much sneak in and win that thing with like 90 wins.
Well, for what it's worth, I just think it'd be funny if Toronto in July trades for Papelbon. Just to mess with Storen. It'd be funny, right?
Okay. Yeah, that'd be hilarious. Yeah,
maybe not the best idea. All right, so this is now five. I think I have that correct. I think we've done five of the six. So next week we do have the National League Central, and we'll wrap that up. I'm working my way up to the National League Central. I'm not 100% ready to talk about it yet. But all right, well, Allison, so we'll do this again. You will be in. A week from now, next weekend, in the midst of the March Madness business, you will be in. Where will you be?
Houston, Texas.
Houston. Wait, so now, by the way, will you be in Houston around Where will you be the season's opening weekend? Do you know?
The season's opening weekend. I think I'm actually going to, I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but I'm going to be somewhere for the opening day game, but I'm not sure it's finalized yet. But yeah, because the Astros are starting on the road, and this is like weird for me because I don't have anywhere that I had to be on opening day for the first time ever. So, but well, I am going to be somewhere.
The reason I ask is because the reason I assume that Houston is not at home on opening day is because the Final Four is actually that weekend, and I will be in Houston. I've literally never stepped foot in the city of Houston in my entire life. And I will be there for the Final Four. I'm staying at an Airbnb within walking distance of NRG Stadium, which I was very excited about. And then everyone that I know that's ever been to Houston said, "Wait, you're going to walk somewhere?"
Yeah, so that's, you might want to rethink that.
Yeah, you have Uber. Uber or Lyft will get me.
So you're going as a fan?
No, I'm covering it for Sports North. I'll be covering the Final Four. For
okay, fun. Well, I'm going to have to take you to my favorite Mexican restaurant then.
Well, you may be out. So you let me know as soon as you know if you're going to be in town. And
Well, you'll be in town starting like earlier than...
Yeah, I'll be in town. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because the season starts on Sunday.
Yeah, and, I think that's when I'm leaving. I think I'm leaving Sunday.
Well, then we'll have to go to the Mexican restaurant. Then that'll be really fun. All right, Allison, have a wonderful week. As always, everyone, follow Allison on Twitter at Allison Footer, AllisonFooter. And safe travels.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your time, and we'll be back with the National League Central next week. So see you, Allison.
Okay, thanks, Will.
All right, bye, everyone. We'll be back with Matt Norlander to do the big NCAA, annual big NCAA preview tomorrow. Have a great one, everyone. Enjoy the lunacy, the absurdity, and the mental deficiencies of madness. Be safe out there.